there is a narrative out there that people just don't want to work now. Are you seeing that? And what would you say to someone that says, I just think people today don't really want to work?
Well, I'd say come visit one of our classes.
Okay.
Because they are ready to work.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
My name is Tamara Atkinson. I have the privilege of serving as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And today I have the distinct honor of having my friend, Kevin Brackmeyer, who is the CEO of SkillPoint Alliance, here to join me today. And Kevin, I am hoping that you will talk to us today about several things that are on Austinites' mind. I'd like to talk about scaling up programs, like what are you doing, what works. I'd like to talk a little bit about non-traditional workers. I'd like to understand whether you think there's any appetite among women to get into the skilled trades. I'd like to find out what you think is the secret sauce to your success. And last but not least, I think I'd like to hear from you today about, do you feel like there's any cohesion in this community to build community? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Are you game to join me today?
I am game. Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
All right,
thanks.
Let's do it.
Kevin, since we're Workforce Solutions and we're talking about workforce, I want to talk to you about jobs. Can you tell me a little bit about your first job and what did you learn in that job?
Wow. Okay. Well, my first job was really working for my uncle Jimmy in construction. He was a home builder and a carpenter.
Okay.
And so every summer I worked for him. Minimum wage back then, I think, was like $3 an hour.
Well, at least you got paid.
I did get paid, but I had to pay for my own lunch.
Oh.
So no free lunch with him. And so I had to work and work hard. The things that I learned from him was really about having a good, strong work ethic, climbed ladders with, you know, roofing materials in the heat of the valley sun. And this is down in the Rio Grande Valley.
I was going to ask you, where was this?
This was in Harlingen, Texas, where it is hot.
In the summer?
In the summer, and it was brutal.
Yeah.
But I was young, I was able to do it, and he made me do it. He worked me hard, and I think one of the funniest stories I have about him is at one point during the day, he said, go grab me those two sawhorses. And so I did, I went and grabbed them. He said, now grab me that piece of plywood and push the sawhorses about 4 feet apart and put that plywood on top, and I did. And then he said, all right. He climbed up on, he said, I'm gonna take a nap, you go clean the shop. And I did. I did exactly what he said.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was making a point to me was when you get to be me and you get to be the boss, you get to make the rules and you get to take a nap during the day if you want, the rest of you are going to go to work, right? And he only did that once, but he was trying to teach me something.
Yeah.
And the whole time I worked for him, he taught me the importance of hard work and a good work ethic. And I learned a little bit about the trade too as well. So.
Yeah. Kevin, I think what I'm hearing, though, is that from a young age, you had aspirations to be the boss so that you could take a nap during the day. Is that really what you're revealing to Austin?
I think so. I think
here?
A good nap during the day is important, but I don't think I've done that in a long, long time, but I sure wish I could.
I love that. Well, and it also strikes me, you're talking about having experience in construction, and at SkillPoint Alliance, you guys really help support skilled trades,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe talk to me a little bit about that early experience and tell me a little about what you offer at SkillPoint.
I was always kind of driven toward that, you know, in the back of my mind, even though I did a whole lot of different things, you know, throughout my career. Mm-hmm. But the skilled trades was very important as far as I was concerned. I felt like it was a pathway for students that, you know, that I worked with. When I was a high school principal, I remember And it was in a low socioeconomic campus. And I can remember our ultimate goal was just to get students to graduate from high school, right? That was a big issue back then. And I remember standing there. There was one individual that I just really was trying to get across the finish line. He was had a lot of struggles. And finally, we got him there. And he came across the stage, and I'm shaking his hand, and I'm thinking, now what?
Oh.
You know, he didn't have a plan.
Mm.
And so for me, it was like, we got to figure something out. And what is the pathway for them, right? He wasn't going to college. And so what else? What is the other option? And skilled trades, that was it. So I've had that mentality for quite some time. And so, you know, what we do at SkillPoint is right in that venue. We have skilled trades training. We've been around for 30 years.
Wow.
30 years, yeah. We offer training in HVAC, pre-apprentice electrical, pre-apprentice plumbing, and then we have a manufacturing class that we started in 2020. We're laser focused on what we call a rapid employment model. So our students come to us and they train anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks. It's Monday through Friday from 8 to 3.
Okay.
We treat it like a real job. Got to be on time, got to show up every day. And there's high expectations for you when you're in the program. And the model is great. I Bob Rudeshauser was the first ED, and in talking with him, I got to meet with him about 3 or 4 months ago. We just talked about, you know, the history of SkillPoint.
Sure.
And that model has been in place since the organization began, and it's tried and true, and it works. A few tweaks here and there, of course, continuous improvement, but it's been a great model for us.
So small world story, Bob Rudeshauser was on the Workforce Solutions Board when I very first joined as a staff person back in 2000.
Oh, wow.
As a staff person. So,
is that right?
So Bob Rudeshauser really made an impact in a lot of ways in this community.
Great guy.
He's a great guy.
He is.
He's a great guy. So what I'm hearing in your story, Kevin, is I heard you talk about being in the school system, you know, K through 12, post or the secondary system, and really seeing a need for what's next post-secondary. So I love that you now have kind of had that continuum in your career. What are your priorities? I mean, your priority with that student in high school was across the finish line, get that diploma. But tell me about like what? How do you identify priorities and for where you are now? And then how do you measure impacts?
Good question. I think for priorities, so for SkillPoint, it's really about two things, right? One, we're focused on helping individuals. We serve individuals basically fundamentally that are 200% below the poverty line.
Okay.
And so we're focused on trying to get individuals out of poverty or out of situations that they're in, wherever they are, and create an opportunity for them to get into a career that has upward trajectories, mobility, whatever. And so that's very important to us because we want them to be able to provide for themselves and their family. And if they're living outside of the community, if they can get into a career that pays well, they can actually come back to the community where they were born and raised. And
so community building is
yes,
one of your
absolutely.
Priorities.
Absolutely, community building.
I love that. I don't think we say that enough in workforce development.
No.
Yeah, keep going. I just wanted to comment on that because I'm like, that's cool.
It is. And it's great to be able to see our students graduate and be able to get into those careers and you see them come back and they're being very, very successful. I could talk later about some of the success stories. But,
sure.
You know, that's number one. And number two is filling those, you know, the needs of our employers, right? And that is very important to us. And our employers are the secret sauce to what we do because without them, we wouldn't exist. And we understand that they have needs and they're hungry for talent. And we feel like we're creating a talent pipeline for them and feeding them with students who are ready and ready for employment.
As we were getting started today, Kevin, you told me that you have more students enrolled in two of your classes now than before.
Yeah.
Maybe that seems to speak. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So we, fortunately, we've been able to really up our recruitment and students are enrolling exponentially. Like I said, we have a waiting list for HVAC and electrical. And because of that and because of the demand out there, we have expanded our classes from, we normally only take 12 in these classes, and we've got 16 in our pre-apprentice electrical right now, which we had to build some more panels so that we could get them, you know, lined up for that. And so that's important to note. And I think the other thing is we began a night class for the first time in SkillPoint's history.
Oh, wow.
We had not ever had a night class. Like I told you earlier, our model is a rapid employment model, but when the need is there, you gotta figure out ways to make changes if you need to. And so we did, and we added a night class. It meets twice a week, and it's going really, really well. And we're super excited about it. And that's just one more opportunity for us to bring more students into the skilled trades.
So Kevin, I want to go back to what you said about community building, because okay. I love that. And so, but it strikes me that Austin, the community, I mean, that's one way to define community is Austin. And some could say, well, Austin is a magnet and people want to live here. They want to move here. Austin historically has really benefited from a tremendous influx of new workers here. But what I heard you say that SkillPoint's focused on is kind of a grow your own strategy, like invest in our community, grow them. If you were talking to, because you might be, a policymaker or a funder who's listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. like what is your argument for why we should invest in growing our own versus continuing to rely on out-of-market talent?
Well, first and foremost, you're talking about a boost to the economy. You know, training our own individuals here in our community. If they live here in our community, you know, they're going to pay taxes. They're going to buy groceries here. They're going to pay rent. They're going to buy their own home ultimately. That's sure. what we want to push them towards. And I think it is about being able to get individuals that can train individuals that can get into a career. And I know I said it, but has that upward mobility where they can have a sustaining income for themselves and their family, and they can move back into the city if they've left, and they can come back and build their family. And then you have this generational wealth that becomes part of their family, and then you have it in your own community, and it helps that trajectory for them. And I think that's really, really important.
I love that. So what I think I heard you say is, it's economic investment
Absolutely.
In our people, and then they spend the money here.
Yes.
And then I also heard you say, and I don't think we talk about this enough, the generational impact,
mm-hmm.
helping those adults. So do you see stories of that? I mean, you guys have graduations and celebrations. Like, how often do you see families coming?
Well, we see a lot of families coming. They're
okay.
always at our graduations, the father, the sister, the you know, the husband. We have mm-hmm. females in our program as well. I mean, it you name it, they're there. And the really cool thing is sometimes we'll have father-son combination in our program. We had that actually happen just recently.
Who holds the other more accountable? Is the father hold the son or the son hold the father?
Actually, is the son holding the father accountable.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. The dad is trying to keep up, but it was funny. And they both got hired by the same company, which was even better.
Oh, that's
right?
Great. Yeah. That's a great story.
And then we have, you know, brothers that have mm-hmm. come in, you know, mm-hmm. from the same family, which is really cool. The other thing that we see happen is we'll have a family member refer another family member. That happens all the time.
Okay.
They'll come into our program. And so there you go. We're creating, this generational wealth, right? With different members of the community, members of the family,
yeah.
which ultimately become part of the community.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
I want to talk about something you just said. You talked about women.
Yes.
I bet that people listening to this, and they think of SkillPoint and the occupations you talked about, skilled trades, construction-related,
right.
even manufacturing, I bet that not very many people think of picture women doing that. So do you feel like you've been successful recruiting women, and what do you think has made you successful?
Right now, the instructor that we have on loan is actually a woman who
okay.
went through our program, and she has been really successful. She relates really well to the students, and I think that's one key element of that. I think it's important to show that women can do this too, and they're mm-hmm. really good at it. Our numbers for, and I'm proud of these because I think what we're seeing is you know, regionally, it's about 14% of women are in the skilled trades.
That's the research that we did.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Well, we're at 18%, so we feel really good about
Jerk.
We're trending up. We've had several women come through our program. We had one, I think, mother-daughter group that started their own business, which is really cool. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for women out there.
Well, the fact that you said that, I think I missed the first time or you didn't say it, is that the woman who's your instructor who's on loan was a student of yours before.
She was.
I don't think I knew that story of... It's like a virtuous cycle of you are training the community, they are going out, people are graduating, going out, building careers, and then now you have an example of someone coming back and giving back.
And
that's such a great story.
It is, and we just love her. She is she's so dedicated, and she's not easy to. I mean, she's hardcore, and she's a good electrician. She knows what she's doing. And I say she's not easy. I mean, she holds them accountable.
Of course.
She's been through the training. She knows what's to be expected. She wants them to be employment ready. Mm-hmm. And so she's chop, chop. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. We're excited to have her, and just a great story.
So in addition to women, I mean, are there other non-traditional populations you're focused on?
Sure. We work significantly with justice-impacted students. About 22% of our students are justice-impacted. We feel like we're a great avenue for them to be able to change the trajectory of their life. They're coming to us because they want to make a change. Mm-hmm. And so we have lots of employers that we work with that are willing to hire individuals who've been involved with the justice system. Mm-hmm. And so we're really well-versed on that. We try really hard to help them figure out what they want to do and work with their backgrounds. So there's that. And then we also obviously work really well with veterans and helping veterans figure out what they want to do once they get out of the military, kind of get back on track with their careers. And so we have a significant amount of students that we work with that are veterans, and we have actually, I believe, like four of our instructors are former veterans as well.
Wow. Well, I'm getting a picture of SkillPoint Alliance really having students that become instructors or go out and work and come back. Like, You're painting a picture of SkillPoint as kind of a community.
Yes.
And I don't know that I had thought of you that way before, but that's really, I don't know that I've heard that story enough about the community virtuous cycle part of how you work. I love that. So I've heard you say women, non-traditional, justice involved, veterans, anyone else? And then what kind of successes have you had with those populations?
Well, there's also opportunity youth. So we're seeing a lot of younger students come into our programs. In fact, gosh, three or four of them, I think, in this last class are fresh out of high school. Okay. I mean, I'm talking graduated in May.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they're already motivated to be back in
the classroom. They're already motivated to be back. And our classroom's a little different than a high school classroom.
Yeah.
The expectations are
a lot. Yeah, you know a thing or two about what a high school classroom's like.
Oh, I do, and they get the speech from me about that. Let me tell you, this is not high school. So put that in the back seat there, because we're ready to go to work here. And, you know, we're teaching them to be employment ready. Some of these students may not have ever even really worked in their life, but they're looking for something somewhere to start their career. So that's big for us, is opportunity youth, and we're seeing more and more of those students coming into our programs.
You know what dawns on me is that a lot of high school students, when they finish their senior year, they're like, "Ooh, I'm done. I want a summer to relax." I hope employers listening to this will think of you when they're looking to hire, because talk about motivated workers. Mm-hmm. If these young people are going to show up in their summer, when their peers are probably, you know, doing something else at a pool or having fun,
right?
Like that tells you the dedication. Do you think you see that across your student pool? Are they showing up and hard workers? And what is that? How do you translate that for your employers?
Well, here's the thing, Tamara. Our program's free. Right?
It's free. They don't pay anything.
They don't pay anything.
Wow.
But I would argue that our students are putting an investment into it as well. They're putting their time in. Mm. They're coming every day. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they could be just hanging out with their buddies in the summer.
Sure.
But they're showing up on time every single day, coming in ready to work. And it's a grind. It's 4 weeks. It's not easy. And so we look at them as they have proven that they are willing to put in this investment into their future, and they're graduating employment ready. And so our employers, we feel like we're giving them a well-rounded student who's ready to go to work in their industry.
Mm-hmm. I think I just got chills. Oh, yeah. I did, because I love hearing that, and I love the story of sweat equity people. There's a match there. Sure. Between what you're giving and what they're giving. You know, I was thinking, Kevin, one of the things, I don't know if you've heard this, but I've heard this a lot since COVID. I've had people, there is a narrative out there that people just don't want to work now. Mm-hmm. That the workforce numbers are down, workforce participation, which actually isn't true. Labor force participation is strong. Uh-huh. But there is a pervasive narrative, people don't want to work. Are you seeing that? And what would you say to someone that says, I just think people today don't really want to work?
Well, I'd say come visit one of our classes.
Okay.
Because they are ready to work. You will see them working. They are in a job in our classroom, mm-hmm. right? The instructor is the foreman. He's the boss. Mm-hmm. And our students are acting like they're at work. And you will see strong work ethic being built there. You will see students getting prepared to become employment ready. Our students, they want to work. They're hungry. They are hungry to go to work. If you're an employer and you're watching this, they are ready and willing to go to work, and you won't be disappointed. I would love to tell a story about one of our former students, Jennifer, who came to our program, and she had just gotten laid off. She had two kids. Mm. She drove straight from her former job to our office and enrolled in our program. And this was this was 5 years ago. And she came and enrolled. And even though she had two kids at home, she didn't have money to pay for a babysitter. She didn't have money to pay for anything. She finished our program. She went in an apprenticeship program. She became a journeywoman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she's now, you know, she's in charge of her own team. And we were talking with her the other day on another podcast. And she mentioned during the podcast that she said, one of the things I'm really most proud of is now I can go out to eat with my friends and I can actually buy lunch.
Mm.
I'd never been able to do that before, but now I'm in a place where I'm going to grab the bill. Mm. And that to me gave me chills. I was like, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
That's such a great
story. She is the coolest. And I'm just super excited about that kind of thing happening.
I was thinking about, you know, we have a Hire Local plan, our strategic plan uh-huh. at Workforce Solutions, and we have different metrics for
right.
how we measure success. I'm thinking maybe I need to add a new one, able to buy lunch for my friends whenever
yeah,
I want
sure.
to.
Yes, that's
a great story.
Yeah,
thank you for sharing
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so Kevin, when you were talking about the programs that you offered, it dawned on me, or it struck me, that most of those align with Austin's Infrastructure Academy.
They do.
And you were an early adopter of the idea. You've been by our side and a big supporter, so thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about why was it important to you that SkillPoint Alliance align with the Infrastructure Academy work? And then where do you think you want to go next or take your organization next as it aligns with all these infrastructure jobs that are being created?
Well, sure. So we know there's 10,000 jobs that have to be filled, correct?
Yes,
and
right.
collectively, we're...
SkillPoint's going to fill them all?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be great? So, I mean, you know, there's 4,000 that are getting filled right now collectively, right?
Right.
So
we
have to come together as a team, as an organization. It's not a competition. It's a collaboration. Mm. We have to all work together.
I love that.
We do. You know, there's, you know, the ACCs and other community organizations that we need to all come together. We all are good at what we do. Let's pull together and let's take our expertise and get this problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to scale up in every way that we can. I told you we were adding night classes. We will probably add another location here in Austin, probably down south if we can.
I'm glad you're staying in Austin. Last few new openings have been out of our community, haven't
I know.
I'm glad you're bringing them home.
There's been such a need down towards San Antonio.
I
down
get
in
it.
The
okay,
south.
We can share the love.
You share the love a little bit, but there is a need everywhere. But specifically here, we are trying to get into some of the more rural communities surrounding the Austin area
mm-hmm.
because as we said earlier, students are finding it difficult to, you know, affordability to live in Austin. So yeah. They're living on the outskirts and in these rural communities. So we're trying to take some of our trainings there so we can pick those students up too and give them that same hope and a, you know, hope for a future, right? So that's a big part of our plan is how can we scale this up, adding more night classes. We just talked yesterday about looking to see if we could take some of the time off between classes and squeezing those together to add even one more class this year.
Oh.
So that's another 16, 18 students that we might be able to add. So it's just really working, together with you and all of the members of the Infrastructure Academy to try to figure this thing out.
Well, thank you for being a partner with us. I love that you said not a competition. Because we're going to all have to do it together.
We are.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely, we are.
So, last question from me. This has been a great conversation.
Sure.
Thank you. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell us about you, Skill Point Alliance, or anything else going on in Austin's world of workforce?
Well, you mentioned community earlier, which is really important to us. And I think I'd like to really emphasize the fact that our organization, we are like a family. And every student that graduates from our program, I have a joke that once you graduate from our program, you are now a part of the Skill Point family and you can never leave, right? But it really is the truth.
But you mean it in a loving way. Not an ominous way.
Thank you for clarifying that. But this is the truth because we follow our students. First of all, we follow them for a full year.
Okay.
And
why do you do that? Why do you, they've graduated. Why do you need to follow them?
Because when you graduate, you just don't automatically become self-sufficient and everything just goes away.
Yeah.
Right? So we know there's still going to be hardships. We know there's still going to be challenges.
Can you help them if they encounter them?
Yes. We have resources that we can help them.
I don't know that people know that.
Yes. We have resources that we can help them, and we have. We've had students who've had some need with rent assistance. We've had a student whose car was in need of repair. He had a hole in his gas tank, and so he couldn't get to work. So we helped him with his gas tank. There's a lot of things that we can help them with. I had a student come to me that graduated about 2 years ago. The job he was in didn't work out for him anymore, so he came back. We helped him with his resume, got it all polished up, and we're going to help him find another career, an opportunity for him. So we want people to know that, you know, we really care about the folks that come through our organization. That's not just a saying. It really is true. We want to help you be successful. We want to help you get to where you need to be. And you don't ever have to worry about calling us back and saying, hey, can you help me? So we're here. We're here for them.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area.
And I just got to say,
learn more about what you heard today
or
to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for
you,
visit WFSCapitalAria.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.
I've seen you just take this organization and go, wow. I'm just like, this is crazy. I can't believe how this, when we first started,
we were babies, weren't we?
We really were. And thank you. And I thank the mayor for, you know, his passion, you know, Judge Brown, all of the folks that are in this game together that we're in and we're trying to make a difference here. So I appreciate everyone coming together. It's great. It's great to be a part of.
Thank you. I agree. And I think the operative word is community. You said that over and over again. Mm-hmm. You exemplify it, and it also takes a community to do this work.
It does.
Let's just keep doing it together. Thanks, Kevin.
Hear, hear. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.